Oh, it's awesome to have wonderful, wonderful people to share our lives with and be there to encourage us and strengthen us, lift us up, share things with, all of those things. It's so important to have all of those things in our life. Let's pray this morning before we get started. And ask the Lord to be with us and pray that I can clear my mind a little bit. I'm a little tired and a little out of sorts, but I'm okay. It'll be just fine. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Thank you again for your word that can comfort us, can give us life, does give us life. And I pray that your word today would be shared with your people in the way you want it to be, and help me to be out of the way and give me the words that you want to share. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, according to the lesson manual, today is All Nations Sunday. I did see some other churches that I follow a little bit that celebrated it last week. That's all right. maybe they had something else going on today. I don't know. Good friends of mine, but it's like, okay. But All Nations Sunday, what does that mean to us? All nations. I can look around here. And yes, it's all nations. And the lesson title today is, So Shall It Be. Jesus wanted us to know and understand, and he wanted Israel to know and understand, and I don't think they got it. I don't think they still understand it. But Jesus wanted them to understand that so shall it be, all nations. And I think sometimes not even today all people get that. We have a history of not completely understanding that everybody is the same. Down through history and so many cultures down through history have enslaved others. And there's a lot of it in the scripture. And even in the times of Jesus, there was slavery going on. And Jesus spoke to the servants, the slaves, and told them to go back to where they had come from and be witnesses. Go do what you need to do. That's what needs to happen. But today we're talking about, and if you were here 3 weeks ago, I had a table out here with lots of dirt, and we were talking about dirt. And I get to go there again today, but I didn't bring the dirt with me. I read this lesson and I thought, oh, well, what else can I say about that? Lots. There's so much. But we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13. But today, we are looking at it from a different perspective. Today, we want to look at the entire, well, almost the entire chapter. They left out two or three verses. And it's a long one, too. They're 58 verses. But if you looked at the context of the lesson today in the manual, and in your handbook that you have, and I don't have one, so I don't know if it tells you what the context is, but it was one chapter one, verse 1 through 52. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, that includes every parable in Matthew chapter 13. And if you've read it before, there are lots of them. But the key verses today, our focus verse today, is Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven. That's what this is about, the kingdom of heaven. This whole chapter, in context, is about the kingdom of heaven. Is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Now, we're familiar with those nets. Mm-hmm. And the trawlers are out there in the ocean throwing out nets, and they are catching, they only want one fish. I mean, they're out there fishing for pollock, or they're fishing for this, or they're fishing for that, and everything else they catch, they throw it away. Now, that seems like an awful waste. Because those fish are still able to be processed when that net comes up out of the water. But they're dead because they've been caught in a net. So we're talking about something today that we know and understand. And we hear about it in the news, and we hear about it from Fish and Game, and people are being fined, and, you know, whole fishing thing. Industries have been shut down, or, oh, yeah, you can't do it here, you have to go do it there. Right. So the Word of God is talking about that right now. And it says that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So let's set that aside for just a few minutes. And look at where this text takes us. But I want to go back to, and thank you, Brother Levi, for talking about this just a couple of services ago. But there is a vineyard that's talked about in Isaiah chapter 5 at the beginning of the chapter. And let's just start with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1 says, now will I sing to my well-beloved song of my beloved touching his vineyard. So this is his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it. And he gathered out the stones. And if you read on, and plucked the weeds and he cleared it. And this is to me, it's a picture very, very similar to the sower, the parable of the sower in the beginning of Matthew chapter 13. And that vineyard was taken care of by the caretaker, by the master of the land, or the servants, or by both. And we can look then at Matthew chapter 13, and that sower, God is talking about, the Lord, Jesus Christ, was talking about the field and how the field needed to be taken care of. And if you compared it then with Isaiah, in that it was the master's job, or to the master to have servants to give them instruction on how to make the field a fruitful field. And the world is the field. If you read down in Matthew chapter 13, where it is explained in verse 18, then you can see that God, that they Christ explains what each type of soil was. And that there was the wayside where they walked. And there was the stony ground at the edges. Because I talked about it three weeks ago, that you pick up those stones and you throw them as hard as you can to the edge of the field. And you get them out of the way. And then you're picking weeds. And there are areas that you have worked enough on, because if you work the same patch of ground for a long enough period of time, there's more rocks at the outside. And in where you constantly are picking weeds, there aren't very many anymore. If you pick them early and don't let them go to seed, and they don't have trailers that go everywhere. Do you ever try to get rid of raspberries? Ugh. There's a lot of other plants like that, but raspberries, oh, wild roses. If you have wild roses on your property and you don't do something about them, they will eventually take over everything. Because their roots are, they spread out and they, and there's so many plants that do that. But so this, we're in this vineyard. And if you move down into verse 24 in chapter 13 of Matthew, you start and Jesus is talking about the parable of the tares. Okay? So in this field, the sower in this field, it could, because this is one story. It's connected. And so then Jesus says, well, there is the sowing of the seed that happened up here, but there was wheat. And so the master had sowed wheat, and it did go in all of the places of the field because they broadcast, not like we plant things today, where if you're planting a big field, you have the tractor pulling, I don't even know what it's called, the disker, and it's, I don't know. Anyway, they're planting seed. My grandpa was a farmer, and I should know all these things, but I don't. I do somewhere maybe have a really cool picture that I took when I was in high school from inside the Columbine, and I put that negative over a negative of the Columbine coming down the field at me at an angle, and anyway. But that's the harvest time where that field of corn was being sowed. But even at that, the corn was in rows because you could go out in the field and walk through the row. But when in this time, when you sowed seed, it went everywhere. You couldn't walk in that field without stepping on something you weren't supposed to step on. And so this parable then in verse 24, the parable of the tares, the master planted what he wanted. Jesus chooses who he wants, and who does he want? He wants all of us. But unfortunately, all of us don't always make the decision to want him. But that's not our choice. Well, it is our choice. But we all have the opportunity to be a part of the field. But then, in the parable of the tares, the enemy. And if you move down into verse 37, you'll see the explanation of the tares and who the enemy is. The enemy is the devil that goes in the midst of the good seed and throws bad seed. And it grows up. Well, in the parable of the tares, when the servants said, oh, master, look, it's tares. And if you study wheat and tares, they look the same. until they're grown, until they're matured. And they said, Master, we need to take these out of here. Now, if you've ever had a little one in the garden with you, and you show them very carefully, these are the carrots, and these are the beans, and, you know, pointing out, these are the radishes, these are this, and this is a weed, and this is what we want to pull out. And you turn your head, and you get busy, and you turn, and everything is pulled up. But I said, no, let's try this again. No, but see, it's so easy to disturb what you want there. They're close together. They look almost the same to a non-discerning eye. They are green. They're all about the same height. The leaves might even be the sort of the same shape. And Jesus said, no, leave them alone. Don't bother them. Because at the harvest, we can separate them. Now, can I share what ran through my mind as I was talking to the Lord driving somewhere yesterday? Because I was talking about these parables with the Lord, and I thought about this, and I thought, well, just the fact that Jesus said to leave the good and the bad growing in the same place until the harvest. I thought, Lord, doesn't that really sort of fly right in the face of dealing with difficulties in the church? How that you go to your brother and you talk to them about what you know is happening in their lives? And if they don't listen, then you come back with two more? And you talk about it, and all this time you want them to be changing their mind about what they're doing. But if they don't, then they need to be whatever you want to call it. Excommunicated? Removed? That word, but I thought about that, and I said, Lord, doesn't that sort of fly in the face of that you let them grow together until the harvest? Because when is the harvest? The harvest is it's at the rapture. That's when the harvest is going to happen. And I thought, and I said, now there are very, very specific things, and this was that situation that I talked about, that where it flies in the face of that, and you're dealing with that in the context of Scripture, I that was dealing with immorality within the church. And no, you really can't let that happen. But when we're talking about gathering and us growing together and being everyone inclusive, we are not the people that make the decision on what's good and bad. The seed that we plant is this. It's the Word of God. And it's all good. Every bit of it is good. And we work with the soil. Isaiah chapter 5 talks about that we work with the soil. And Matthew 13 talks about the different soil that is there. And I talked about 3 weeks ago that we can change what kind of soil it is with prayer and love and concern and help. We can make changes. We can make changes in us. Because I don't think all of us were good soil in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I know I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I'll just talk about me. I don't know all of your stories, but I wasn't good soil. I wasn't a person that you would go pick and say, "Oh, this is prime Alaska gold dirt." Well, let's make this apply to us. You know, which one are you going to buy in the store? You know? And Alaska Gold's expensive. But so is Miracle-Gro. And then it's, is it organic or not organic? And, you know, yeah. But we weren't all good soil. More than likely. And I can say assuredly. I don't like to use absolute words very often. But assuredly, we have all had weeds in our life. Amen. Amen. We might not have had a lot of rocks. We probably were not wayside soil, but maybe we were. And so whatever soil we were, there were changes that need to happen in our lives. Because weeds go everywhere. So at the very least, there was some cares that needed to be taken care of. And so in this parable of the tares, it's really that we are not the judge. Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And thank you for that clarification. The church does have some controls in it. But we don't stand at the door and say, "You're welcome and you're not." We absolutely cannot do that. And where we started today in this lesson, we need to look at the whole picture. That was the net that was gathering everything. Everything was gathered in that net. The mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed in verse 31. Said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds." Some of the studying I did said that the mustard seed truly isn't the least of all seeds. It's a pretty good sized seed. But it also said that if you take your mustard seed in your hand and you mash it, that inside is really the seeds and it's powder on the inside. Okay, so I was reading the book of I can't remember the exact title right at the moment, but it's about all of the parables, and it's by I think it's J, the first initial is escaping me, Dwight Pentecost. And then I couldn't remember. I know it was a textbook in Bible college. I don't remember if he was a part of our organization or not. Pastor, maybe you know. But he was talking about all the parables, and I spent some time reading about this chapter in the application of this chapter. And whether or not we think the mustard seed is the least of all seeds is not important. But in that mustard seed is famous in certain cultures, and it probably would do that in Alaska if you planted it soon enough. But in one season, it can grow several feet high. So in my application, I could think of a sunflower. That you plant the seed, and before it's done growing, it's way up here. In one season. And that this mustard seed grew to a great tree that the birds could make nests in. And it provided shade for little. And we have the potential of great growth in this kingdom, in the kingdom of God. Our reach is infinite in Him. We have the ability, when we have a purpose and a mind for Christ, we can grow infinitely in Him as we head toward the harvest, as we head toward the rapture, as we continue in our journey and our walk with God. We can be like that fertile mustard seed. And we could relate that to our faith, that portion of faith, whatever portion it is. We are all given that portion of faith. And I've heard people say, well, I don't have any faith. Well, yes, you do. You have faith in a lot of things. But that faith, God gave it to us, each of us, to focus on Him. And He wants us to have faith in Him. And He wants us to be prosperous like that mustard seed. I know that when I came into this, and you could feel the same, that when I came into this, I was, in my own mind, an insignificant little mustard seed. What are you going to do with a mustard seed? You're going to smash it. But you probably need more than one, Sister Phoebe. You know what I'm saying? If just one. I'm just one. What can I do? What abilities do I have to present to this? But God wants us to know we have the ability to be great in Him. When we focus on Him. Just a couple verses down. The parable of the leaven. Verse 33, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole thing was leavened. Yeah, it doesn't take much leaven. And leaven in Scripture is likened unto sin that grows. But the leaven that Jesus was talking about is not, you know, the yeast that you go in the store and you buy. And, you know, put it in lukewarm water, and maybe you add a little bit of sugar to it, and you let it bloom. And if it's good yeast, you can see it bubbly all over in that little bowl of warm water in just a little bit. And you want to make sure it's good yeast, because if you put yeast in all and you make up the bread and you didn't test that yeast, you might have just thrown away everything you put in that bowl. because it's not going to make bread. But the yeast and the leaven that they were talking about was more like, well, it was a type of sourdough that you kept a little aside for the next. And that's how it worked in that. And if you play with sourdough, that's how it works. And I have one in the refrigerator right now because I'm sort of ignoring it for a few days. Because if you leave it on the countertop, you have to deal with it every day. And they didn't have refrigeration, so they had to deal with leaven every day. And I can tell you that we have to deal with our natural selves every day. Because there is still leaven in our lives that we have to, you know, you can call it a weed, you can call it whatever you want to call it. Liken it unto whatever makes sense to you. Isn't that why Jesus talked in parables? He wanted people to be able to understand what he was talking about. But yet, did they always understand? Mm-mm. No. That, so many times he said, you got to have ears to hear what I'm saying. You got to see beyond. But yet, if we talked in homiletics and in all these big theological words and terms, not very many people understand that. We have to make the Word of God applicable and understandable. And so this leaven, they had times in their lives where the leaven had to be thrown away. Their bread starter, what they used every day to eat with, had to be thrown away. Because they would spend a day or they would spend 7 days without leaven at feasts. And they had flat bread. Sort of like a tortilla or a pita. But there isn't any leaven in flatbread that they would eat during a feast. And it takes a while to get leaven back. Now, to start a sourdough takes weeks to get it to work. Now, I don't know, did they take it outside of the camp? Maybe they did. I didn't study that enough to know and understand. But did they take it outside of the camp and leave some leaven out there? And it just was out of the house? That after the feast was done, after that prescribed time of no leaven? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just get rid of the leaven in our lives? Yeah, if we could just get rid of it. Now, we have power over it. And it is washed away and forgotten, but it's not necessarily forgotten inside of us. We still have our human bodies that we live with. And Brother Mike, I do know that God can take it out of our lives and our hearts, and we don't have to deal with it as harshly as maybe we have in the past. And you've done a wonderful job teaching on that and talking to us about the Spirit being able to take things out of our lives. And as the Spirit leads us to deal with them in our lives, we can at least take the sharpness out of the past. But it's not truly gone until we're translated. Until we have a new body. And we are like Him. Right now we have His Spirit within us. With the Holy Ghost that gives us the power to overcome these things. But we still deal with them. So we could look at this leaven and see that if it's not controlled, it can take over everything. Because it will grow and grow and grow. Until it doesn't, yes. You got that Sunday school song in your head? Yep. I don't know if they still sing that song in Sunday school, but I'm telling you, yes. I have done that one a few times. I'm sorry, I keep bumping this thing. We got to grow. But we got to grow in Him. And leaven will grow until it runs out of food. So is that a good key? That sourdough will grow and bubble until there's no more food left in the flour that's there. And then it gets thick and sludgy in the bottom of the jar, and there's this really strong liquid, and they say that it's a somewhat alcoholic that forms on the top, and it's all this, whether you pour it out before you start over again or you stir it in. That's a whole, anyway. But it does quit. And so in our lives, if we continue to feed our spiritual man and quit feeding our natural man, the effect of leaven is lessened to the point that it just almost doesn't exist. But we have to quit feeding it. So we can't have leaven in our lives. And then you move down to two quick references to two parables. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the goodly pearls, verses 44 and verse 45 and 46, I believe, for the goodly pearls. But verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. In the context of this chapter, Jesus found a field. He wanted his own people to be a part of that field. But he knew that they weren't going to be. They were not going to choose him. But he found a field, the world. And it was a goodly treasure. It was a treasure worth everything. And he gave everything to be able to buy that field. And today, whomsoever will, because he is drawing everyone. We choose to follow that or not. But we ourselves find a treasure. And he asks us to get rid of all of this. All of the past. All of the harm, all of the trouble, the struggles, the problems. He asks us to walk away from those things that keep us from this. This treasure that's worth everything. And so, like Jesus Christ, who found a treasure, gave everything, he asks us to let go of our humanity as much as possible, till it's barely alive, just alive enough to get us up in the morning and do what we need to do, but not to do the things that he asks us not to do, and be able to focus on him and his word. And then in verse 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Jesus is walking around looking for goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He found a pearl of good price. He found a church. A pearl of good price. And each and every one of us, he sought and he found us. And he is still looking for pieces of that pearl of great price to add to his body, to add to his bride. He's looking for more people to join his body. And then we end up here where we started, the parable of the net. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Right now, as a part of his body, it's us that are out looking for those that God is drawing, for those that are hungry to be a part of his kingdom, those that are hungry for this word. They want to have every piece of that that's possible. And we're the ones that need to share this word with them. God's Spirit can draw them. They can come into his presence and feel his presence. But we are the ones that have to share this with them. We're the ones that have to live this in front of them. And we are the ones that he needs, because he isn't on this earth walking anymore. We have to be his feet, his hands, his heart, his mouth to reach this world. And so shall it be. We want this in our lives. I don't think I'm looking at anybody today. And those that are online today, he wants us to be a part of his kingdom and then work to increase his kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're getting ready to start our worship service. I am so thankful, looking forward to what God is going to do in the rest of the service and the word that we're going to hear from him. And Lord bless you all.